Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
The 2011 NFL draft coverage continues this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We're so glad you're along with us because I tell you what, we have got a number of storylines and guys that we're going to hit on with our next guest. It is always a pleasure when the senior writer for OU Insider and the host of Total Sports 1400, KREF, joins us from Norman, Oklahoma. James Hale, I know this is an incredibly busy time of year for you. We certainly appreciate you taking the time.
Well, it's always great to be on with you. I'd rather see you in person. You know, you're one of the radio hosts that has a face for television. But, you know, hey, it's always great to talk to you anyway.
Hey, well, I'll just direct you to my radio website right off the top, eradiosports.com.
And everybody can take a good look at you. And it's worth the click on the computer, I promise.
That's very sweet. Listen, before we start talking about the NFL draft, and I also want to take time today to recap Oklahoma's spring game, let's start off with the hottest topic right there in the great state of Oklahoma, and that is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They continue to roll. They advance to the Western Conference semifinals after defeating Denver 4-1 in the first round. First of all, I was up there last weekend, and driving around, you saw all the Oklahoma City Thunder flags waving about, but there is quite a vibe in Oklahoma City. Give us the pulse, James.
It's excitement. They're ecstatic. I mean, it's tremendous. What other adjectives can I use? Fantastic. This has become, Oklahoma City has proven that it's a very viable pro sports market, and it's proven that it's a really good NBA city. I know there were some doubts, and Sacramento still takes shots at Oklahoma City and all that. And bottom line is that Oklahoma City will support their teams, and they really support the Thunder. And they have Kevin Durant on their team, and he is really, really good. It's interesting the working relationship between Westbrook and Durant. They're both all-stars. They're both players that are considered elite players in the NBA. They are both the cornerstones of this franchise. Yet, Kevin is the player that I think everybody looks at and believes is the better player. I thought in the last game in Denver, I thought that Westbrook, for some reason, decided he was going to win or lose that game, and I think it hurt them. And as a point guard, when your point guard's so aggressive, and it's a good thing that he's aggressive, you don't want to curtail that. You just hope he grows and becomes a better player than that. Kevin Durant was hot in that game down the stretch, too. Or maybe he's hot all the time. Maybe he just shoots that well all the time, that's probably the better way to say it. Westbrook wasn't shooting well. And even though he had 31, he didn't play a bad game. I mean, he had a great game. Just the decisions down the stretch didn't help him win game four. Here we are in game five. It's a similar situation. Westbrook has the ball in his hands. He's playing aggressively hard, coming down. Kevin Durant is begging for the ball. For a couple of times, he didn't give it to him. Then I think, there was a timeout, and I think in the huddle they decided, I think it was kind of a mandate. Hey, let's go to KD. Let's get him going. And he was magnificent. He scored 14 points in the last 2.5 minutes and didn't miss a shot, was just aggressive. And then Ibaka's block of Dene's dunk, I thought, was just as important on the other end. And it was tremendous. And Oklahoma City is ecstatic. And, with San Antonio struggling with Memphis, Oklahoma City is going to be favored now in the second round. And you look at this Oklahoma City team, it's young, it's got young legs. It plays hard. It can put a lot of pressure on you. The confidence is growing by leaps and bounds every time they take the court. They're going to be a tough team to stop for anybody now in the Western Division. They've got just as good a shot than anybody else, I think.
Well, Denver's head coach, George Karl, had high praise for the Thunder, believing that they are as good as anybody in the Western Conference. They could go very, very deep. You were just talking about, James, the key components for the Thunder, obviously, are Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. But, Serge Ibaka, I just think his growth has really been remarkable. You talked about some of the key blocks, but 9 blocks, it just continues to show how much steady progress that he's making.
Well, he's tremendous. Ibaka has become a solid jump shooter and a guy that can hit a 15-foot jump shot. He's always been a pretty good rebounder, and he's become a solid defender as well. His game got better once Green was traded. I'm not sure how that worked out. Maybe the fact that Perkins is now down low and they have more depth down low allows him to really play more of a natural position, at the power forward spot, I guess. But he's really, really turning out to be a great player. And he's young, too. I mean, this whole roster, the key components of it, they have Perkins locked up long-term, KD locked up long-term. Westbrook is the guy you worry about staying in Oklahoma City. You know, he's a California guy. He does a lot of local commercials. They're beginning to get him active. Osaka Water is his main sponsor. And he's pretty funny in some of those commercials.
I've seen him.
Okay. He seems to enjoy Oklahoma City. I mean, I like his comment about, hey, you like my truck, and it's old Zarka water truck. And he's going, hey, you're in Oklahoma, you got to have a truck.
Yes, I saw that.
It's pretty good stuff, you know. But everybody knows that deep inside, or he makes hints that he'd like to go back to the West Coast at some point. We all know that, you know, the Lakers aren't getting any younger. And they'll be adding pieces to try to finish out Kobe's career. And it will be interesting to see if he does get to the free agent market and Oklahoma City cannot tie him up, what he decides to do. He's a guy that, you know, it gets down, is he an alpha dog? Is he a guy that has to be the number one guy on his team? Or can he and Kevin Durant share the stage? We all know that every great player has to have a sidekick. You know, Michael Jordan had to have Scottie Pippen. You know, Magic Johnson had to have the three, you know, the two other, you know, Hall of Famers on his roster. Wilt Chamberlain, you know, can never win until he, you know, got good enough guards around him that, you know, he can win. You know, we know the Boston Celtics teams were very deep. You know, Dirk Nowitzki, I think down in Dallas, one of his biggest problems, he can't find a sidekick. And Kevin Durant will need somebody else. Or you'll need two or three major players to win an NBA championship. Not just good ones, but major players. Look at San Antonio's run with their three guys. So I think that's what it takes, and it'll be interesting to see if Oklahoma City's able to tie up Westbrook for a long time.
You know, you bring up a great point, James, because it makes you wonder what Coach Scott Brooks or the assistant coach Mo Cheeks is saying to Russell Westbrook to keep him satisfied. Because as you said, I mean, he wants to pull the trigger when the game's on the line. And he took a lot of heat for that up in Denver, the fact that, I mean, he just kept jacking it up when he should have been, you know, handing it off to KD.
Well, you know, and that's kind of the thing that's the growing pains about him. I know they told him last night, because the timeout, I think that was, because as soon as they came out of the timeout, every play went through KD. And I think that's just what, you know, he's got to get a mindset of. That doesn't mean he's not a great player. And, in fact, he becomes a better player if he's able to orchestrate that. And, okay, you're option number two down the stretch, but that's not a bad thing to be, especially if you can convert. And that's what they've got to convince him and tell him. In game four, it was almost like he played mad the whole game and was determined to say, I'm the man. And they didn't win. They only They only lost by three. So it's not like they were totally out of the game and they didn't have a great chance to win. And KD did get a couple of shots down the stretch, but I think that's the biggest thing they still have to grow around is how they handle things down the stretch. And, you know, they're doing better on their inbounds plays, but sometimes that's kind of a problem for them. But, you know, hey, this team's evolving right in front of our eyes. It's getting better. It's better than it was last year. They went from an eighth seed to a fourth seed. Now they've won a first-round game. It looks to me like they're going to be favored in the second round. So they're improving like a great young team should. And what we've also learned about the front office is that they'll spend money, especially on their own guys. They're not afraid to make key trades. They've already done that. Sam Presti is highly thought of. And they continue to get better. This team is better now than it was before the trade. And it looks like they know how to make some solid moves in the off season too. So getting Cook, I thought, was a pretty good, pretty big deal. He's an excellent 3-point shooter. He really helped them down the stretch. He's now in the rotation, and I think that's a key reserve for the Thunder as well. So, but Oklahoma City's gone, if I can use the word bonkers, I don't know what else to say. I mean, they've gone crazy over this team. Every game's a sellout. If you notice, just about every game, you know, if they want them to wear blue shirts, they wear blue ones. And they want them to wear white ones, they wear white ones. I mean, they're really into it. I don't know if the nation looks at Oklahoma City as a pro city yet. You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know who our Jack Nicholson is what I guess what I'm trying to say. There's people that are, you know, on those seats. They pay good money to sit on the floor. Some dress up in suits, some don't. I think Oklahoma City has its own little identity. And one thing that I know, when you come in, you better have earplugs because it's going to get loud and they're going to try to help their team.
There's no question. I mean, the fans are engaged from the start and they really feed off of their team, but their team feeds off of them. I mean, the Thunder fans are really like that sixth man out on the floor. It is remarkable just how much the community has embraced this team. I mean, I think back the CBA, what was it, the Calvary way back in the 90s, James, and they were so hungry to have an NBA team.
You just told everybody how old you are. See,
so. Well, I was still in college. My roommate was actually a cheerleader for the Calvary.
You were a freshman, I forgot.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, this Oklahoma City has told everybody for a long time. For a long time, Oklahoma City supported NCAA events, and they still do very, very well. Every regional that's been in here, you know, it's sold out. The Big 12, when they brought its tournaments here, it's done very, very well. And because you have the Cox and the Myriad, right across the street from each other, you can have the women's tournament and you can have the men's tournament in at the same time. And I think they marked it off. It's a 63-foot walk or something like that. I mean, they're just right next door to each other, so it's almost perfect for the Big 12 tournaments with the men's and the women's. And that's a fun deal because you can just go to any game you want to and just keep going back and forth. So Oklahoma City's been telling people that the Big 12 baseball tournament has been a major success. It always has been. The Bricktown Ballpark is one of the best ballparks, minor league parks in the country. So Oklahoma City aggressively bids for these events. They aggressively want to host them, and for the most part, they're successful whenever they do. Now, that being said, you know, when the Hornets were here, that proved to everybody in the NBA that basketball could work here. And, of course, Mr. Bennett, when he decided to go out and put together his group to go aggressively after a team, he had 2 years of a solid foundation to work with because he knew that the city would support it. And he thought it would just grow because of the excitement around the team. Now it's become a thing to do. It's a place to be seen. It's just like any other city, I think, that's thriving, that's doing well. You know, it's cool to go to a Thunder game. And I know people that are, you know, they only have a modest living, but they're saving their money to buy their season tickets. They'll gladly pay for them. Maybe they got a system if they can't go. They got people that will buy them and use them, so you get a little money back. But people are supporting this team, and people are doing everything they can. Either you got the bug or you don't. Now, it's hurt college basketball. It's hurt OU on attendance, and it's hurt Oklahoma State on attendance. There's no doubt about that. You know, but on the other hand, it has certainly been a real positive thing for the city, and the city has responded in a grand fashion.
How much has it affected as far as the college sports and the fans coming out? Because those tickets can't be that cheap.
Well, no, they're not cheap. I don't know if they're as expensive as the ones in Dallas or L.A., but I imagine they're comparable. You know, I tell you the truth, I've never looked into what a ticket costs in L.A. to go. Now, I know what a ticket costs to go to a Red Sox game, and it's much cheaper to go watch them in Tampa Bay. But that's beside the point. You know, but it's hurt attendance. There's no doubt in the college game, E. There's no doubt. And I didn't think it would. That's how naive I was about it. In fact, I think what the Thunder has become in the spring, I think it's kind of the sport of choice because OU doesn't open up their spring for football, so you can't go to a practice in football, and the only thing you get to watch is a spring game. And it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, where the Thunder is very visible, and they're out there, and you can go to games. So the Thunder's become the main draw here in the spring, as OU football's kind of conceded that to them, and it's just become the main thing to do. But as far as college basketball goes, and as far as other spring events, there's no doubt it's hurt attendance at the college games.
James Hale is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to pause and direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. Perhaps you're just dialing in and you're catching this interview a little bit late and you want to hear it in its entirety. It will be posted on the e-podcast page. Of course, James Hale, he is the senior writer for OU Insider, also hosts the Afternoon Drive show, Total Sports on 1400 KREF, right there in Norman, Oklahoma, does an outstanding job. James, tell us, let's shift avenues. Let's talk about Oklahoma's spring game. A lot of national buzz about what this team is going to be able to accomplish in the months to come. Hit on the positives. What did you take away from the game?
Well, I mean, I first of all, I think the national attention is justified. I think OU is really good. I mean, OU has been a young team the last 2 years, and they're still not a senior-laden team going into this season. And yet, you know, they are a team that is loaded with outstanding talent. They'll have two Heisman Trophy candidates in Landry Jones, the quarterback, and the receiver in Ryan Broyles. They'll return six guys in the offensive line that have started at one point or another. And they return every key component that they have at wide receiver. You know, when you got that much talent returning, and then Travis Lewis comes back on defensive linebacker, they get their injured defensive tackles back. At the safety position, Colvin takes over there, and he and Javon Harris really look good. So even though they lost two starters there, it looks like they're going to be good there. And with the corners as good as they are, I mean, Demontre Hurst is a two-year starter now. He's going to be a high draft choice, and they'll get Jamel Fleming back. But the good thing about Fleming missing the spring because of academic issues was that Gabe Lynn, who was a highly recruited athlete out of Jinx, Oklahoma, that he can really play, and he's a really, really good player. So now they've got three corners, and they still have their developing corners in Julian Wilson, and they have their developing safeties in James Haynes and Quentin Hayes. They moved Joe Powell over there. He's an athlete out of Dallas Skyline that you probably know. He started out as a receiver.
Right.
Now he's a corner, and they think he's a natural there. This team just looks like it has depth, it has star power. Then at running back, I don't know who's going to win that job. I wish I could tell you, but that's how good the competition is. And it's not because they don't have any good players. They have five really good players. And Dominique Whaley's a walk-on out of Lawton. He's an Air Force guy, an Army brat, as he calls himself. He's lived in a lot of different players. He's not on scholarship. In fact, he's worried about this summer, you know, what kind of job he can get to help him pay some bills. This is really the unique college story about a young man that's walking on at a very high-profile position at OU, and he's got a chance to earn playing time, yet he's still not on scholarship.
As I understand, he led the spring game all rushers with, what, 65 yards on 10 carries. I mean, Dominique was a very big storyline.
Absolutely, and he scored had the biggest run. It was a 50-something yard run, and he ran over a couple of guys, showed good speed. And Cale Gundy has told this reporter for a long time that Dominique Whaley was going to be a player and would definitely play next year. But it's just one of those rare stories. We may be talking about him in October, leading the team in rushing, and I'm going to be telling you how that he's having to get up at midnight to go work at the bowling alley or something to make money. I mean, it's kind of an interesting deal because he's not on scholarship. And I'm not saying he won't be put on scholarship, but Bob doesn't really work that way. You know, Bob promises his scholarships. He doesn't go back on those scholarships. And he'll try to work it out for, you know, if a walk-on player later. For instance, Trent Rowdery has played a bunch of tight end the last 2 years. He's still not on scholarship. And he walked on. He's played a lot. He's been a starter, but he's still not on scholarship. So Bob kind of has his protocol on how he's going to do things and what he believes in doing things. But it can be tough on kids. But here's the case of, like, Dominique Whaley. You know, he's liable to be the starter now. He's going to have some competition. Roy Finch played pretty well in the spring game, had an up-and-down spring because of that ankle, but yeah, he's going to be 100%. Brandon Williams was the wow factor. But Brennan Clay, a guy that came out of California with a lot of fanfare, I thought he had a great spring. He was healthy, finally. He wasn't bothered by the concussion that he received, that he suffered last season. He looked good. He's a smooth running back. It doesn't look like he's running very fast, but he always gets the most yards out of whatever is there. And I thought the Sooners did a better job running the football. They're going forward more with their offensive line, not sideways as much. And I think it really paid off. I think they look pretty good out there running the football.
We talk about the running back position for the Sooners. Let's hit on and talk about as far as the quarterback in the backup situation. I understand Drew Allen, he's kind of moved ahead or pulled ahead of Blake Bell. Is that correct?
Well, maybe. You know, that's going to be interesting. I think if they played tomorrow, Drew Allen would be the backup quarterback. You know, but boy, Blake is really talented. And Blake finished that, you know, Blake finished the spring game in an impressive fashion. He got off to a 2-9 start, but he completed like 8 out of the next 9 passes. And he threw a touchdown at the end, a key 2-point conversion. You know, it looked like he hadn't played football in a while. And I thought he looked pretty good. The quarterback position to me is still wide open for the backup job. How they lead in the summer, the development they have in the summer, How things go in the summer will determine it. I think Drew will start out the season as the backup. I don't know if he'll end the season that way, and that's not a knock on Drew. He might. I mean, Drew will get better, too. Drew will continue to compete. Drew believes in himself. Blake's just a man, you know, he's just a tremendous athlete that's growing into being a quarterback, and he'll get better as they go along.
James Hale is along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. Of course, the senior writer with OU Insider. You can catch all of his radio broadcasts on 1400 KREF. And as we talk about the big NFL draft, what about DeMarco Murray, the running back? What kind of impact and future does he have within the NFL?
Well, I think DeMarco, I love DeMarco. I know the knock on him is that, you know, he won't stay healthy. And DeMarco kind of changed his running style two or three different times at OU. But I think last year showed the running style that he wants. He, you know, wants to weigh about 208 pounds. You know, I think that, you know, he believes that, you know, he's got good speed. You know, I think that he's a versatile back. He's a great blocker. He's a great pass blocker. He's a good receiver. I think he's going to be an outstanding NFL back as long as he can stay healthy. I think he can do a lot of things. He's a really good kick returner, good special teams player. I mean, DeMarco's a really good football player, and let's face it, he knows how to find the end zone. I know DeMarco, people will look at him as one of the great backs of all time at OU, but he's the all-time touchdown king. So he found the end zone a bunch, and, of course, he was on some really good offenses, and they did a great job of getting him the ball and things. I understand that, but I think he's really good. I think he's going to have a good career in the National Football League, and if he stays healthy, he can play a long time because he can catch the ball out of the backfield and do some great things in that regard.
James, who else, as far as for the Sooners, are you looking to go high in the draft?
Well, Quentin Carter is going to be Quentin Carter will be a third to fifth round guy. Quentin was an All-American safety, you know, at OU. Two-year starter out of Las Vegas, a guy that would have started more his sophomore year, but, you know, he's banged up a little bit. He's played hurt his junior and senior year when he's had little nicks and knacks. You know, he's really an intelligent player. He gets the only knock on him, there are times it looks like he kind of gets discombobulated out there for a play or two, but he always gets it back together. He's a hard hitter. And he's a very conscientious young man. You know, he won several awards for his community service work. He's one of the highest honor you can win in the NCAA for all the work he did in the Norman community. He's got a foundation and a charity that he's continuing to support. And again, I think Q has a website. I think it's qcarter.com or something like that. And he talks about it's like the Soul Hope or the something foundation. The Soul Foundation, I think, is the name of it. And he will host every year in Las Vegas a football camp for underprivileged children that can't afford to go to camp.
Wow.
I hear it's the largest free camp that's going on. And they're getting sponsors behind it. They're getting, you know, people behind it. And, again, you can donate to his cause. He's a great guy. If you want to pull for somebody to make it in the National Football League, he's got to pull for it because he's trying to give something back to society.
Now, James, you had Kelly Masters on. She's an agent and represents Quentin Carter and also, as I understand, Gerald McCoy. What are some of the biggest challenges that she's facing, you know, with the league being in limbo?
Well, it's a struggle because not only does she have the guys that will be drafted, you know, she has guys like Teddy Lehman and Dusty Dvorak that are really good players and from OU's past and history that, need to get they're free agents and they need to sign with somebody. She can't negotiate with anybody. And she's got three or four other clients that will fit that category. And, you know, she can't negotiate for them. And so I don't know, you know, we'll have to wait and see, I guess, what these court orders will really do for anything and whether or not it gets them back to work or not. To me, it confuses things a little bit. But for her, she's in limbo because she can't get anybody to return a phone call. And if they do return the phone call, she'll say, I've got these players, and they're going, we can't do anything about it.
Man.
So it's a tough spot for her.
Absolutely. Some unfamiliar territory, but Kelly Masters, obviously a great guest on your show. James, listen, thank you so much. We really appreciate the time. I know you're on your cell phone and kind of fading in and out, but you provided some great information. Thanks so much, Boomer Sooner, and we will catch up with you again real soon. Thanks, James.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
You bet, James. Step aside. We got much more straight ahead. Jason Peter will be joining us with our Under the Helmet segment. We'll be right back.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight.
Delivering the insight you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson.
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum.
And Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.